Friendships never go out of style.
Oh, you're the best friend anybody's ever had. And it's funny, but I feel as if I've known you all this time, but I couldn't have, could I?
If you're not over here in 15 minutes, you can find a new best friend.
Welcome to the Best Friends Playbook Podcast.
With your hosts, Crystal
and Allie.
We've known each other for over 27 years, and we're here to share our wisdom on friendships in film, TV, and literature.
Grab some coffee, our favorite, and get cozy.
Hi, guys. We're back with another episode of Best Friends Playbook Podcast, and we are in the same room.
I know. It's so weird.
We're not over Zoom. So fucking happy. Really over Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think especially for this really big episode, it's exciting that we're in person.
Mm-hmm.
Because what are we doing, Crystal?
We're doing the Game of Thrones. Dun, dun, dun.
And then also afterwards, we'll get into just things we feel about the show because Crystal has a lot to get off her chest, probably.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many thoughts and feelings on Game of Thrones. You know me. It's like my favorite show of all time, I'd say, probably. One of my favorite shows.
Yeah, I agree with that just because it's really hard to find good fantasy content out there.
Yeah. So you just watched it
mm-hmm.
for the first time. And then I have another friend couple that had never seen it. And they're just now watching it. Like they're on season two. And what I always say to people when I want them to watch it is the best writing I've ever seen on a television show. Like yes. Hands down. If you miss, I even told them because they're like, yeah, we're trying to like do things as we watch. And I go, no. Stop right there. You cannot multitask when you watch Game of Thrones.
This is not a sitcom.
No, it's you have to pay attention, especially those first couple of seasons. Every single thing written, every single thing on screen has an importance. There's a reason. And if you miss it, you're fucked. So,
yes, I agree with that entirely. There's just so many little nuances in the writing, especially with Littlefinger and
Varys, my favorite. Varys. I love Varys.
They're always scheming and speaking to each other in circles and metaphors. So that way the other person doesn't know exactly what they're trying to do.
But it's so true.
The writers leave such good breadcrumbs for the audience to figure out what's going on.
Whenever those two have scenes, by the way, me and Jay, I'll be like, Jay, shut up. This is a very important scene because they just speak haikus at each other.
Literally, that's all they do. It's amazing.
It's so funny. And they never like really say what they're trying to say, but they like
get into it. No, you just have to like figure it out and be like, well, this I think means that. Because eventually you pick up on like their little metaphors they have for the characters.
Their little
and stuff.
Birds and the spider and all those things. Mm-hmm. And we're not even covering them. We just like them.
they don't really have a friendship. They're frenemies. They're very fake. They're like popular girls where they're doing whatever survival tactics they have to do to survive.
They're like the people behind politicians pulling the strings. Mm-hmm. They just, you know, they're like the cockroaches that last until the end, except those two don't, but they almost
Spoiler.
Do. They almost do.
Littlefinger does not survive.
Neither does Varys.
When does he die again?
He dies the same episode where Daenerys snaps and kills everybody. That's like the beginning of that episode.
So oh, that's right. Last one ever. That's right. She kills him because he betrayed her because he realized that she was spiraling.
Yeah. Well, mm-hmm. and he like wrote a letter saying that Jon is the true heir kind
yes.
of thing. And then Tyrion turned him in and then she burned him alive, burned him to a crisp.
But I feel like at least he died a more honorable death versus like Littlefinger was just, he deserved it.
Yeah. And Sansa and Arya just like, played him hardcore.
Yeah, because
how awesome is it that he got played by two little girls?
I was so terrified that like they were really arguing and I was like, no, this can't be happening.
I know.
Yeah, so I they know. Did a good job of really messing with the audience. But what's his name again? Venarius? Varys?
Varys.
Varys. Yeah. I felt like when he died, he was like, I accept this because I support and believe like what I did versus Littlefinger was literally like just doing what was best for him.
Yeah, that's like the difference between them. Littlefinger, it was always just whatever he wanted. Mm-hmm. And that was his main goal. But Varys, it was always like he always claimed it was for the good of the realm. For all the people, that's what he wanted.
Yeah, so. And he's like, I chose wrong and I know the truth now and I can't let that happen.
Good for him for mm-hmm. dying on his sword sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay, so
we're not talking about them.
No, we are covering Jon and Samwell.
Yes, we are also covering Jaime and Brienne.
And then Tyrion and Bronn.
And Jorah and Khaleesi.
Yes.
Or Daenerys, whatever you want to call her.
She has so many names.
Yeah.
I remember every time they would say her title, it just kept getting longer.
Breaker of Chains and Mother of Dragons, something about the Great Grass Sea, and there's fucking 18 titles, but
no one needs that many titles.
I will say that I think my favorite, it's hard to say. My favorite friendship, though, is probably Jorah and Daenerys.
Theirs is really special, but I think Jon and Sam are my favorite. But Daenerys and Joris?
Jorah.
There's so many names. theirs is very interesting, and they go through a lot.
I feel like it comes about, like, full circle, though, theirs.
Yeah, and I have so many emotions about Brienne and Jaime.
Yes, I know. Which one should we start with?
Let's do Jon and Sam.
Okay, theirs is easy, I feel like.
So. Yeah, they also have, like, in my opinion, the, like, they are actually really good friends.
Yeah, they're like the Frodo and Sam of this.
They are.
Sort of.
Okay, so Crystal's leading this. She took notes because I was just trying to, like you said, it's really hard to, like, do things while you're watching the show.
Yeah, and it was your first time ever watching it, so.
I chose to not take notes.
So Sam and John.
Okay, this is the few things that I remember from the beginning of their friendship. Sam is forced to join the
Night's Watch.
What is it? The Black Gate? That's what I was trying to think.
Well, it's called Take the Black. It's called the Night's Watch.
Go to the Wall.
Yeah, go to the Wall. All of those things.
There's so many things. Yeah. So he's forced to go to the Wall because his dad thinks he's a coward and he doesn't want him to take his name.
He's a really shitty dad.
Yeah, his dad's awful. Which we discover later on more when we meet him. Mm-hmm. But Sam is, he can't fight. He's
a chunky boy.
He's a little sensitive flower. He's never held a sword in his life. All these things.
Gets winded very easily.
Yeah. Which is fine because he ends up becoming a really smart, what are they called?
Maester. He becomes a maester.
Yeah. So but he does learn how to fight. But essentially when he gets there, when you get to the Wall, you have to, like, everyone there has to, like, fight you and teach you how to battle, and he just can't. He falls to the ground, and the guys are kicking the crap out of him, and John defends him.
Yeah, he's like, and it's not even just he can't fight. It's like he chooses not to. Like, he's like that kid that just, like, throws up his hands and, like, just lets the kids beat the shit out of him, mm-hmm. and it's sad. And even John is like, dude, you're pathetic. Like, get up, fight. Like, what are you doing with your life? kind of thing. I like that about John. He, like, really pushes Sam to be better in the beginning because, mm-hmm. like, otherwise he's going to just get eaten alive by these, you know, the people that take the black are, like, the rapers and the robbers and the prisoners of the world. So they're not nice guys, you know?
All the creepy people.
It's really just John and Sam that are the nice guys.
Yeah. And then it's funny, too, because when he defends Sam, some of the other guys, like, look at John like, how dare you, like, you're being wimpy, or basically they're judging him for being sensitive. And so the next day John and his friends go and, like, they're in bed or something, and they have his wolf there.
They essentially, like,
they threaten,
say, like, nobody touches Sam.
Yeah.
And it's just interesting because Sam and John are so opposite, right? Here's mm-hmm. John, he's the best fighter there. Everyone thinks he's gonna be a ranger and everything. And Sam is, like, this sad little guy that can't do anything and is scared of life, essentially. So it's nice that, like, John takes him under his wing, and all of the guys kind of immediately listen to John. Like, he's like an immediate leader, you know? He's like
one of those guys. And I think John learned a lot of that from his
dad.
We learn it's not his real dad. from Sean Bean from Boromir.
His uncle. Nettie.
Ned Stark teaches him how to be an honorable man, mm-hmm. and just kind, a kind human. And I think I don't think Sam would have survived in the world if he didn't have John there. Because John, I feel like, is a big protector, which later on, there's, like, one point where I think they're fighting, I don't remember if it's the wildlings or someone's coming to the Wall to attack them. And Sam's basically like, you can't protect me forever, John.
Really? I don't remember that.
It was in one of those, like, fan montage videos I watched. And Sam's just like, you can't protect me forever.
Aww.
I can't remember which battle. I think it might have been against the wildlings, actually. I guess, what would your next point be for them? Would it be when they go outside of the Wall and they turn on each other?
Well, I think there's, like, some nice, really cute friendship moments, right? When they both mm-hmm. take the black, they both go out to the Godswood beyond the Wall.
Yeah, and they both pray to the old gods.
Yeah, but Sam originally didn't. He's like, the new gods have been shitty to me. Look at my life. Like, I'm going to go try the old gods. So he goes to John, and they're the only two that take the black in front of the I don't know the name of the tree, but they call it the Godswood.
I do like that because John's been protecting Sam, they become really buddy-buddy. Like, it's kind of similar, like, when you're at school or you start a new job, you kind of look for the person that seems the least crazy, that you're like, I don't know anyone. Can I just hang out with you?
Yeah. And they, and it's almost like, if you think about it, it's almost like a boarding school, right? Like, mm-hmm. all of these guys are, like, stuck together with each other and they don't know each other. And they, like, immediately start bonding. They talk about if they've had sex with girls. They talk about their shitty dads. They talk about, you know, their upbringing. They just, like, really confide in each other. And it's cute.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about John being a bastard and how he, like, never had sex with a girl because he didn't want to create another bastard. So.
Yeah, which, again, is just a whole nother side showing how honorable John is.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to have that for his son.
Yeah, he thinks it through. Doesn't yeah. lead with his dick.
Oh, and that was something that, like, David had to explain to me, that, like, if you're a bastard, you're just automatically named Snow.
Well, yeah.
If you're from the north, and then it was sand yes. for wherever
sand
you were.
For Dorne. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing just, like, the other side of, you know, like, across the Narrow Sea, it's sand.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just... Like I said, I've watched this a few times through. And on this last round, I always pick up something new. On this last round, if you're, like, born, I'm pretty sure it's, like, the southern part. You know, like, there's the north and there's the south.
Mm-hmm.
It's Rivers. Because Gendry says that his last name was Rivers because he's a bastard. Gendry
yeah,
Rivers.
Because they're surrounded by the water.
Yeah. So, and he was born in King's Landing. So I'm assuming it's, like, the southern part. They probably talk about it in the books, but we have not read the books.
Because who's the terrible human that rapes Sansa, but then she gets her revenge by killing him with the dogs?
Ramsay.
That's right. He was his last name was Snow, and that's when I started picking up on it. I was like, what?
Yeah.
They just name all of them that?
Yeah, I know. The first time I watched it, I don't think I ever, like, realized that Jon Snow was, like, the Snow part was the bastard part. The other thing that I thought was really cute with their, like, friendship was when they get to, what do you call it? They, like, separate them into categories at the wall.
Oh, yeah. Right?
And John gets, everyone thinks John's going to become a ranger, but in fact, he gets put in the stewards along with Sam, which he was, like, really pissed about. And Sam's like, dude, shut your mouth. You're going to be, like, second in command. Like, you're basically Mormont's bitch and you're going to, like, rule one day. And John just, like, can't see past the fact that he's not a ranger.
Yeah. And that, I think that's kind of, like, the first moment we see how, like, wise Sam is. Like, he's literally telling John, which is what the commander eventually tells him. He's like, I picked you because you need to eventually become this. And you get to see everything I do, read all the notes that come through. Like,
yeah.
You're going to learn more than a ranger.
Yeah. I think Sam always sees, like, the long term, and John just can't seem to.
Yeah. Oh, Johnny boy.
Yeah. It's cute, though. He, like, comforts him. Oh, the other thing, I think, let's get real, like, the main purpose of Sam in this entire show is he figures out about the White Walkers.
Oh yeah, because he always heard rumors about them. He believed them. He's been trying to read more about them in the library.
Is the first one to really, like, inform people about it because they have that one at the wall that John kills. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. He believes.
Not a White Walker. That was, like, a dead guy, but.
Yeah, that's right. He believes John because the guy came back from the dead and almost killed the commander.
Sam. He kills a real White Walker when he has Gilly
in
that, like, random area. But he's honestly, like, Sam is always the catalyst to figure out more about the White Walkers. He reads about them. Mm-hmm. He finds out about the Dragonglass. He figures out how to kill one. He figures out, like, the Valyrian steel thing. Like, he is the knowledge that essentially saves the world.
He also figures out how to get rid of Dragonscale.
That's right. Yeah, I know.
For Joris. Like, yeah.
He is the coolest.
I love when he did that because his... like, master or boss was just like, how'd you do it? He's like, read a book and did it very, very carefully.
So gross to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Sam is just, like, such an important role overall. Like, he really figures out everything, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's definitely the smarts of the whole show, solving all the problems. And he trusts John. Like, John and Sam, they both trust each other no matter what. They never question each other.
Yeah. And it's funny because they both end up, like, with technically wildlings.
Yeah.
Like, Sam, you know, rescues the Gilly from Craster's Keep.
Which is funny, though, because, like, he tries to, before he actually rescues her, he asks John if they can take her. And John's like, no, we can't take her, like, with us. Like, it'll be so obvious, especially if she has a baby. So it is, like, kind of the one time that John denies him. But I'm glad that he did because realistically, it made zero sense.
Yeah. And then John hooks up with, oh no, what was her name? Ingrid. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. Who he's married to in real life now, which is cute.
So. Oh, really?
Yeah, they're him and her are married and have a kid now.
That's
yeah.
super cute. That's super cute. So we got the ending we actually wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do think it's poetic that we had to kill her. You guys, it's been out forever. Sorry.
I know.
We're not going to feel bad about spoilers.
There's so many spoilers. You should probably say in the beginning, there's a lot of spoilers in this. We're going to talk about the whole series.
Yeah.
We are.
I'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Remember now. It was really good too, you guys. Yes, I know what it is.
Okay, okay. Go ahead.
I'm going to say this is season two or three. When Rob Stark, John's technically his younger brother, but he mm-hmm. is the eldest of the Starks. He like is in war with everybody. It's the war of the, what was it? Four kings, five kings is yeah. what it's called. Mm-hmm. And John like wants to leave the wall and mm-hmm. go fight with him. And he even like Sam tries to stop him and he fucking blows past him and is like, no, I'm going. And like goes and Sam has to come out and save him yeah. later on. Like him and his little like group of people come and like pull him back when he's, you know, halfway to wherever he's going or whatever, which I thought was really cute because they all like kind of risked their lives because mm-hmm. if you desert, you get killed. But they all risk their lives to go get John.
But yeah, so I guess the next big event would be when they return and they're at the... Well, that's when they're separate. So when John goes with the Rangers and then he gets kidnapped by Ingrid. And so he's separated from them. And Sam goes back with the rest of the guys from the wall. And then they all attack each other. And then Sam escapes with Gilly and her baby. And that's when Sam kills the first White Walker.
Yeah. Sam essentially, well, he does desert because mm-hmm. he goes with Gilly. Which ends up being good in the long run because, you know, he helps Bran get across the wall.
Mm-hmm. Which was so funny. He's like, oh, you're Jon Snow's brother. Yeah. He's like, of course I'll help you. Yeah. And I was like, Sam. He would do anything for Jon and his family.
Yeah. Yeah, Sam's just an overall good guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember what brings him back to the wall, though.
He brings Gilly back.
But why?
Because it's not safe out there.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay.
They got attacked by a White Walker. It's dangerous out there. Eventually, John gets back to the wall, and then he tells Sam about being with Ingrid. He doesn't really tell Sam, but Sam really wants the details because he's like, but I've never lied with a woman. What's it like? John's like, I'm not going to tell you.
The best part, by the way, is when Sam actually has sex with Gilly and he just lays there like he just lays there. She climbs on top of him and it's so funny because he doesn't even like
do anything,
raise his arms or like touch her or anything. He just like lays there. It's so sad.
It's so awkward.
You look like a dead person, man.
Yeah. Something. It's funny because he takes Gilly. So Sam takes Gilly to like the town outside of the wall where there's like a brothel
mm-hmm.
to try and keep her safe there. But then it ends up not being safe because the wildlings are coming through. So he has to go back and like get her.
And then keeps her at the wall with him.
Yeah. And John is essentially making sure that she's safe because he got promoted to commander because the commander was killed.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was hard because like half the people didn't like John.
Mm-hmm.
And then so John let the wildlings in to protect them. And then he let Sam have Gilly there. And there's no women at the wall. So mm-hmm. it's like.
So they don't like his favoritism that he's doing too.
Yeah. But then Sam ends up taking Gilly. He decides he wants to be a maester because mm-hmm. the old maester died.
He takes Gilly to his family.
Yeah. He first to his family, then to the Citadel. Mm-hmm. And then during that time is when John gets like murdered by his own guys.
Yeah.
Like Mormont did.
Yeah.
I never put that together.
Oh, you're right.
History repeating itself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because the old commander also wanted to keep the peace.
Yeah.
Just like John did. And those guys are all fucking savages.
Yeah.
They're literally all murderers and rapists and just basically like the black sheep of the town that people don't want there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So John gets murdered while Sam's gone, which mm-hmm. is sad. And then he comes back to life, which was weird.
I guess it kind of made sense because like I feel like the writers were trying to play with religion. And so like, because remember the Red Witch like brings him mm-hmm. back. And it's all part of, like, the plan or whatever from the God of Light.
Yeah. The Lord of Light.
Yeah. Because there's other stuff, too. Because, like, what's his name that Arya's with for a while? Half his face is burned.
Oh, the Hound.
Yeah. He says he saw something in the fire, and he eventually starts believing the Lord of the Light. And so there's definitely, like, I'm not too upset about it because the writers really were, I think George R. R. Martin was really trying to explore religion.
I could see that. There's so many different religions within it.
Mm-hmm.
And to see the different people believe in their thing and how it works. And now that I think back, like, the other guy, I don't remember these two names, but they're in the Brotherhood. He brings that other guy back from the dead like 4 or 5 times.
Yeah.
and they do it on screen too when the Hound kills him. So, like, I guess it's not that uncommon, but I don't know. It was just weird to watch.
That's fair.
I was like, oh, John's dead. And no, he's not, but it's okay.
Well, and it was interesting too because the witch or the sorcerer, she had pretty much given up hope.
The Red Witch?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so when she brings back John, she's like, I don't necessarily know if I can do it. And, you know, she really is doing it for what is best for the world, because I didn't like the way she handled King Robert.
Stannis.
Sorry, Robert was his brother. Rest in peace, Robert.
She really fucked up with Stannis, and she's like doubting herself hardcore at that point.
And so I think that was interesting then that the Lord of the Light, like, he kind of, this was her last straw with that whole thing. And he brought Jon back, but that's because Lord of the Light had a bigger plan. He needed Jon to make sure he killed Daenerys and stuff, which that's where, like, it's very theoretical and everything. I just like thinking about it.
It is very interesting. It's so funny because the whole Lord of Light followers, or is that what they're called? Or whatever they're called. The fire, they call them like fire something.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole like sect is so funny because people are like, oh, they're crazy. They're, you know, fanatics. And it's like, oh, you guys all have your weird things going on. Like, you people down south are into the seven, the light of the seven, and each one of them has a purpose. But then there's like the people that end up taking over the King's Landing.
They're crazy.
Sparrow, the High Sparrow. Yeah. I don't know what they're called, but
I don't either.
They're like super fanatics in my opinion.
Well, David and I have this theory that the only actual God is the God of many faces.
That one is the most confusing to me. I don't understand that one at all.
Well, I think the God of many faces literally is the God of death. And then
that part makes sense.
And then so then the God of death puts on the many faces, which is all these other gods that everyone worships. And he just plays whatever God everyone needs him to be. Because Arya worships at the temple where, like, we actually see real magic happen.
True.
So I would really like to deep dive further into it, but I think there's something there because that was what me and David were putting together.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, it could be. It could also just...
That's why I think Jon Snow came back, because the God of Death allowed him to come back.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting theory. I kind of like just the thought of it's essentially like our world today. Like, we have a lot of different religions. Mm-hmm. A lot of people believe something different and nobody knows what's real and what's not, right?
Yeah.
Like, people that are super hardcore Christians...
Mm-hmm.
See miracles every day, you know, they think they do anyways. So that's essentially like the Lord of Light people, right? So.
Yeah. Well, and then like you're Jewish and many Jews only follow the Old Testament. They don't even notice or pay attention to the New Testament at all.
Yeah.
But modern day Christians, they mostly read the New Testament and they say, oh, the Old Testament is just for reference.
Yeah. It's very interesting. And what I really like is Jews say this too. God in the Old Testament was kind of a jerk. Yeah. Like, totally. Oh,
God is
super mean.
That's why so many Christians were happy, like, when Jesus came to save the day.
Yeah.
I mean, God fucking killed, like, what was it, Abraham and his family just for turning back? Yeah. God's like, sorry, bro, you didn't listen.
Yeah.
Not a That's why time. My son is here to forgive you for your temptations.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Side note.
The religion thing I think is very interesting in Game of Thrones. So Jon comes back to life, and then we have Sam doing his whole thing, becoming a maester. I was really proud of Sam because his dad basically like insults him and tells him that he's still not a man, especially because he's going to school to be a maester and he can never. Is that guy his brother or his brother-in-law or like soon to be brother-in-law?
The tall guy that dies with the dad?
Yeah.
That's his older brother. Or yeah, I don't know if younger or
but
older,
he
but
he is
his
blood
brother.
Related, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Because once those two die, it's like Sam is the only Tarly.
Okay,
male
so
Tarly.
He must have been his younger brother then, because Sam was the oldest. I was like confused on that.
Dickon, that's his name, by the way.
That's right. I wonder if that was George R. R. Martin way of like he was mad that he created this douchey dad. And
yeah.
He was like, yeah.
Dickon and Euron are like my two favorite names. Jay always makes fun of Euron.
Great choice. It's amazing. So I was really proud that Sam basically like says, fuck you to the dad. He says, Gilly, we're getting out of here. I'm not leaving you here. And he takes the dad's sword, which we later find out is made with
Valyrian steel.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, I don't know, this is maybe me reaching, but I don't know if Sam would have been able to do that if he wasn't friends with John. I feel like John really taught him how to be brave.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think he, and at that point, I think he had had enough life experience where he was a little more like, you know, he'd already like taken Gilly and had her at the wall and stuff. I think he was just a little more ballsy than he was in the beginning too. And yes, I think he got that from John, but I also think he just got that from all of his crazy experiences he had had so far.
Yeah. Especially because like when they fought the wildlings, like Sam was scared, but he knew he had to fight and he killed a lot of big guys. He didn't get like a ton of hits in, but the few hits he did were like big hits.
Yeah, like now that I'm really thinking about it, Sam is like the hero of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. He gets Bran beyond the wall. It is the Sam and Frodo story,
and he is Sam.
He fucking saves Jorah and then gives him his family sword, and Jorah is the one that saves Dany from dying. So, I mean, there's just, Sam is just, and then all the White Walker stuff. Sam yeah. is number one, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, they're both named Sam, Frodo, Sam.
Yeah.
John, yeah. I mean, we all know Sam is the one who saved Middle-earth. It wasn't Frodo.
Yeah. Man, anybody named Sam is just like a hero, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Samwell, not just like.
Yeah.
It's always Samwell.
And then Samwise.
Oh, Samwise. Yeah, you're right. Damn. I thought they were both Samwell.
But they're both Sam with a W.
That's right. Anyways, when do they get reunited?
They don't get reunited till when they're going to have the battle for Winterfell.
With the White Walkers, yeah.
And that's when Sam tells Jon who he really is.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's a big deal.
That's a big, yeah, very important part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Jon's like, what? No, I'm in love with Daenerys. I can't take this away from her. John, get over yourself and take the throne.
Yeah. I will say, by the way,
that's when he's too honorable, in my opinion.
Yes. It does bother me, though, that Sam tells him. I guess it doesn't bother me that Sam tells him then before the battle. What does bother me is that John tells Daenerys before that battle. Mm-hmm. Like, what is the point? At that point, talk about terrible fucking timing. Like, you could have waited.
Like, that's like going up to your soon-to-be husband right before the ceremony going, by the way, 5 years ago, like the night before we hooked up, I fucked your brother. Like,
yeah.
Or that's basically what happened on Friends. Remember Monica? They find out Monica is actually going to go hook up with Joey instead of Chandler.
Oh, yeah. Yes. But see,
you just don't do that.
But going to. See, I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's terrible timing. It's like, oh, hey, by the way, I'm the true heir to the throne. Oh, shit, we got to go to battle now. It's like, yeah. And her draw is just like, what? Yeah. Terrible timing.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're getting sidetracked.
I don't know if there was ever a good time to drop those news. But I was nervous that Sam wasn't going to get alone time with John to share that. So it was nice. They were like in the crypt and that was a.
And then there's one more. I think it's after that battle. It is after that battle. Mm-hmm. When they finally like part mm-hmm. for essentially what they think is forever. And they say like, you know, they say to each other, you're my best friend. Like you're the best friend I've ever had. And it's really cute. And they hug. I think they hug.
Yeah.
And then John goes with Dany to, I don't know, take over the Seven Kingdoms, I guess.
Yeah, they go to where Cersei is.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. Where does Sam go? Do they show?
I think, doesn't he go back to the maestry, the main one? Or does he go back to the wall?
Maybe he did. I don't know. I feel like I should have noticed.
You guys were not hard.
But that last season, I mean, they don't show a lot. They leave a lot up for interpretation. Mm-hmm. It's kind of annoying, so.
Yeah, but because Sam's not even there when John gets imprisoned.
No, he's not. You see him at the very end. He's a part of the small council at mm-hmm. the very end. And he's the Grand Maester? Yes, the Grand Maester.
Yeah.
But there's still an Arch Maester, whatever that means, who mm-hmm. I think is higher than him. But so I guess he must have gone back to the Citadel. Mm-hmm. Although, how would he have gotten all of his chains by then? That makes no sense. I don't understand. This is only a couple weeks after the thing.
It hurts my brain.
God, the last season, there's just so many questions.
What came first,
So many loopholes in the last season. But anyways,
it's not okay.
Anyways, he ends up being the like Grand Maester at the end for King's Landing.
I mean, he technically saves the world, so I feel like he should just get
all
his
rings. He deserves
it.
I'm fine with that, you know, but I just want to know how he got those chains.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then John goes off to the wall, which, I mean, fuck it. I'm just going to talk about it because this, we're talking about them and this really pissed me off at the end.
You guys get ready.
Their punishment for John is to send him back to the wall, to the Night's Watch. Why is there a Night's Watch if there's no more White Walkers? Riddle me that.
Yeah.
Why?
I guess it's still just a good place to send prisoners.
What are they guarding on that wall? There's nothing over there anymore.
Like, no idea.
What the fuck? I don't understand.
Like, that is something I didn't put together in my brain. Because I was like, oh, he's going back to the wall. I guess that makes sense because he did make an oath to never not protect the wall. But the thing is, they defeated the White Walkers.
It really irked me. I was so pissed last night. I kept looking at Jane. I'm like, what are they defending on that wall? Like, I don't understand. They like open the gates and he sees Tormund, who is my favorite character, by the way. Like, we don't even talk about him, but he's my favorite. The redheaded guy, the redheaded wildling. Oh my absolute favorite character.
His obsession trying to get Brienne is amazing.
But he is my favorite character, and they see each other and they don't even smile. They look sad bear. And like, why is he there? What is he defending the fucking wall from?
Yeah.
I don't understand. So yeah, it's
well, that was the other thing is that did you notice how at the end of the show, they all leave the wall as if they're going to just like abandon the wall and go live out. And so I asked David, I was like, so are they no longer defending the wall or are they taking John to go live in the true north? Like, because no one would know. I don't understand.
That's what Jay thinks. He's like, oh, I actually like this ending for John because it looks like him and Tormund are taking the wildlings back out to the wild and I think they're going to live with them.
Yeah.
And I go, that's nice, but they don't say that. And
they don't.
It's kind of confusing. And then he is deserting the wall. So then isn't he going to just be like they're going to hunt him down? Like, I don't understand. So like it seems like a nice ending, but it's a little too open-ended for me.
Well, you know,
to understand.
What's also funny is that like his brother Bran becomes king of the Six Kingdoms and the North is its own kingdom protected by Sansa.
Yeah.
Couldn't Jon just technically go back to the North with Sansa and she'd be like, what's it called when you're in another territory? Like you have sanctuary or like immunity here?
Yeah, something like that.
Couldn't he have just done that?
I don't know. Let's just talk about the fucking end right now. I don't understand why Jon and Tyrion are prisoners. First off, Dany never took prisoners. So why the fuck did she take Tyrion as a prisoner? Mm-hmm. Why was he in that nice big room? And why did Jon get to visit him for like a fucking hour and talk about their treason, right?
Also, for how many things Jon has gotten his way out of, I honestly think he could have taken... Who was the head of Daenerys' army?
Grey Worm.
I think he could have taken Grey Worm.
100%.
He could have gotten his like spear thingy from him and then fought his way through. Like he survived the Battle of the Bastards. He survived getting that.
Or let them both die. I honestly wanted way more people to die at the end, to be honest.
But also,
I think they all should have.
I think it's really weird that Daenerys' army stayed after she died.
Exactly.
And they have no body for proof.
Except, but that's what irks me. They have Tyrion and Jon as prisoners. Mm-hmm. There's no more Daenerys, so why do they even have the prisoners? And Grey Worm says, I want justice for these two. But he brings Tyrion out to that stupid fucking meeting with all of the important people in Westeros.
Also, he wanted to burn everyone to the ground when they killed Alessandri?
Missandei.
So why didn't he then just kill Tyrion and Jon?
I don't know. Why? Seriously, like... After Jon killed Daenerys, why didn't they just murder him?
Yeah, because that goes against... The only reason they never killed on command was because Daenerys told them not to. If Daenerys is not there and the queen that you literally helped burn a city to the ground for, why it goes against everything.
It makes zero sense to me. They have these two prisoners. They only bring Tyrion to that meeting, by the way, if you notice. And then Grey Worm like leaves him there and they're like, why didn't you bring Jon? I want justice... So, you know, here's this one, but he's not allowed to talk is what he says. And then Tyrion has a whole fucking like speech and it's a great speech. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. He's great at giving speeches, but explain to me why he is allowed to have that speech, right? Mm-hmm. When Grey Worm just said, don't fucking talk, you're my prisoner, and that he wants justice for him. And then Tyrion essentially lays down the law of how they're going to choose a king from now on. And he chooses Bran and they all like vote on it.
I think it was like, oh, I think the writers really wanted Bran to be king, which I'm happy Bran became king because he is the seer of all. So he can like help them from making mistakes. But they made this like weird way of forcing it to happen. And they used Tyrion as the mouthpiece as the writers, I feel like.
Major loopholes that make no sense. I understand if you wanted Tyrion to have that speech. You could have not imprisoned him. It could have been, he could have ripped off that hand thing like at a different point in time and not pissed off Daenerys at that point and never became a prisoner. So mm-hmm. like, I don't understand why
yeah, it would be in that order. It's just really frustrating because like, obviously you've seen the show multiple times. This is my first time watching. Like the show is literally absolutely brilliant. Like everything about it is perfect up until like the last couple seasons. And it's just like, what happened, guys? What happened?
It's like, yeah, it's like when they started veering away from the books.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The last couple seasons, you really see a shift mm-hmm. in the writing. There's scenes that I feel like they didn't need. They had like comic relief scenes. That was never what they used to do before, right? Everything had a purpose. And there's like total scenes that have zero purpose.
Well, David and I are really upset about the random scene where after Daenerys gets kidnapped by another group of
Dothraki,
and then she burns everything down, so then they love her again, and then she's like on her horse going back to Jorah, and she's like, hold on one second,
and they're all already following her.
2 seconds yeah. later she's on her dragon, and I'm like,
yeah. And then she has this stupid speech about, will you guys follow me, and it's like they already followed you out of Dothrak or whatever that place is called. They're already fucking following you through a valley of nothing. Like, why are you having this speech right
now?
And honestly, and we talked about this at your birthday. What mm-hmm. was the point of the Ed Sheeran scene? I like Ed Sheeran. Don't get me mm-hmm. wrong. I don't think he needed to be in Game of Thrones.
I think
they could have put anybody in that scene.
I think that scene could have existed without him, because the point of that scene that David and I saw, and I think it's really important, was to show that, yes, those young men were from
King's Landing,
but they're just normal people and they didn't have hate for other parts of the country, and they're just doing their job, and it helped Arya have less hate in her heart for anyone who lived in that city. And I think it's essentially the reason why Ed is in that episode is it's called stunt casting in Hollywood, and you do it to get more people to watch the show.
But this was already the number one show in the world. So why was he in there?
I don't understand.
That's what irks me. I love
it. That's the
only
reason for it.
But he didn't need to be in there. If George R.R. Martin could just get his shit together and write the last couple books, we could see if it was really supposed to end that way. Because mm-hmm. the loopholes in the plot line at the end just really irk me. And mm-hmm. I don't know. But I do – the whole point of this side tangent was that I really like the end, even though I don't think it's punishment for Tyrion to be the Hand.
Yeah.
But that's his punishment. And so one of the last scenes is Tyrion as the Hand doing the small council meeting, which is great because mm-hmm. Bronn is there, who we talk about later on, because Bronn and Tyrion are mm-hmm. one of our best friends. Sam is there as the Grand Maester
mm-hmm.
or whatever it's
which
called.
Which is smart.
Brienne's in it, mm-hmm. and Sir Davlos is in it.
Yeah, they do a good job of making sure the council is made up of the Six Kingdoms.
Yes, and it's all people that I liked, like all good characters that ended, like, you know, made it to the end. But it's just like cute little banter, and it's like, mm-hmm. oh, life's moving on, and it's great. So that's really how we see Sam at the end. And then we see Jon going out to the, you know,
yeah,
the north.
The only thing I was a little bummed about is, like, I get why Arya wanted to see the world because she'd gotten a taste of it. But I feel like she fought so hard to get back to her family and have revenge for her dad that I was really hoping that, like, she would have stayed with Sansa in the North. But I'm at least happy that Sansa became the Queen of the North. Like, that is probably my favorite thing about the ending.
Yeah, I do and I don't like it. I didn't like the way she chose to let everybody know at that awkward meeting that, hey, by the way, it's like they had already all chosen Bran, and then she's like, yeah, but I'm going to keep the North. It wasn't even like a vote. It was just like, I'm going to keep the North.
But I feel like that's in true Sansa fashion.
But I mean, I do like her as a ruler. I don't mind Arya going off. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't mind the Arya part. What irked me about Arya at the end, though, if we want to keep bitching about the last season for a second, or the last episode, was I don't like that essentially all of Arya's storyline, she has a list of people that she's going to kill. And Cersei is like number one or two on that list the entire fucking time. And in the last episode, she is going, or the second to last episode, I think it's the second last episode. Yeah. Because it's when Daenerys is burning everything down. Mm-hmm. She is heading to the Red Keep with the Hound. Hound's going to kill his brother. She's going to kill Cersei. They have their little plan. The minute they get in the fucking map room, which is like in the Red Keep, he turns to her and goes, if you kill her in here, you're going to die in here. You should go. And she like kind of is like, oh no, but I got it. And then he's like, no, dude, fucking go. And she just bounces. And I'm like, you just like dropped your entire storyline. It made no sense to me at all. No, but that's not Arya.
He also tells her though, I don't want you to be like me. He forces her to leave. He's like, I don't, because he says, I don't want you to have as much hate as I do. I don't want you to turn into me. So that's the reason why I was okay with it.
I don't know. It makes zero sense to me with Arya. Arya, like her entire fucking dream was to kill Cersei. And I just, and especially Cersei is such a hated character in general.
She kills everyone else on her list.
But she's such a love-hate character, and I didn't like the way Cersei died. She should have had something terrible happen to her. Dying in the arms of her lover is like, how is that the good, how do they get the good happy ending where they die,
I mean, like,
hugging their best friend?
He's also her brother and her twin.
But why do they get the nice romantic ending when they're two pieces of shit?
Well, you know, I'm still upset about Brienne and Jaime, so shall we start that?
Fine.
Because he should have been with Bran. The arc was there and then they took it away from me and I was really upset.
So what's funny, I mean, we're starting backwards here, but I never liked that Brienne and Jaime ended up boning. I think she should have gone for Tormund.
I think they should
really
have.
He really liked her.
But I think that's...
He really liked her.
I liked it though because it was human, it was real, it was the wrong choice to make and we all make wrong choices.
I don't know, I just... I mean, hey, I understand Brienne is all about that unrequited love situation.
Yeah.
But Tormund really liked her and I think they would have been so cute together.
Oh, I was obsessed with them. I really wanted them.
I was like, why did you sleep with Jaime? And then he just leaves her and it's so fucking sad.
I felt awful for Brienne when that happened because she had finally been vulnerable enough to open herself up and then he just broke her heart. And I was like, I hated the writers in that moment.
Yeah.
I hated them.
Yeah. But let's rewind and talk about how they became friends and before that, because that's really the end of their friendship for the most part.
Brienne is a woman of her oath. She will be faithful to whoever and whatever, as long as there's an oath pact involved.
Yeah, essentially.
So who is the first king she was protecting? Well, he wasn't
Renly.
Was he even a king yet, or did they just make him a fake king?
So he was a part of the War of the Four or Five Kings. I can't remember how many there are. But he was Rob's younger brother. Mm-hmm. Stannis was the older brother. I don't know why he thought he had more say than Stannis.
Yeah.
I think it was just because he felt like he had more supporters. And
yeah.
So he was going for it just as much as Stannis was. But yeah, she was devoted to Renly.
Yeah.
And she had like unrequited love for him. She had apparently known him since she was a kid. He was like nice to her at one of her parties.
She did not know that he did not like.
Yeah, he likes the dudes, not the chicks.
Nope, doesn't swing.
But he danced with her. He made her felt beautiful when she was a kid, and everybody hated her or thought she was ugly or whatever. He was a nice gay guy.
Yeah. Well, I also think that like they were both.
And she liked him.
They were both outsiders. Like he wasn't allowed to be gay. She was considered too manly as a woman.
Yeah.
And so that was probably why they also felt like kindred spirits to each other because he accepted her because I think deep down he no one knew he was gay, but he knew that like he wouldn't be
when they were younger. When he was older, everybody knew. It was like the secret that everybody knew.
Yeah. I think that's why he danced with her and like showed her acceptance.
Yeah.
Because he felt the same way she did.
Yeah. So she like always loved him and then was in his Kingsguard, essentially.
Yeah. Well, she got in there because she did a battle.
Yeah.
And she won. And then the spirits of Robert Baratheon came down and killed him.
Stannis Baratheon.
Stannis.
Rob was already dead.
So many Stannis brothers. Only three. It feels like Baratheon. A lot. I don't know what their names are anymore.
There's so many names, dude. There's so many names. So
the weird thing that the Red Witch births in that random cave... comes and
so fucking weird. I remember the first time I watched that, I was like, where is this show going?
It was weird. that storyline I could have really done without. I get why it's important to the story, but I think they could have made
dark magic. There's like some weird sprinklings of dark magic in the show.
Mm-hmm.
They never really go into more detail about it at
all.
And they're like totally different religions. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting.
I could have done without it. It was weird, but
it was very weird.
So he dies and then
Brienne ends up
why does she
Brienne ends up protecting Catelyn Stark.
Yeah, she protects Catelyn because why was it again?
Catelyn saw what happened. She was.
Yeah, so she knew like no one would believe them.
Yeah, everyone mm-hmm. thought like Brienne had something to do with mm-hmm. it and she didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Brienne is like Catelyn's bodyguard, really, mm-hmm. I'd say. And when they have Jaime as prisoner in Robb's army, Catelyn ends up freeing him.
And ask Brienne to take him
back to King's Landing
to get her daughters.
Yes, Brienne is essentially tasked with taking Jaime back to King's Landing, mm-hmm. exchange him for her daughters. Mm-hmm. So that's really how Brienne and Jaime start. They're like, yeah. He's her prisoner. He antagonizes her the entire time they're on the King's Road. He calls her ugly. And
so this was the thing I was manly telling and David the other day is that all the Lannisters are all very clever and witty. Mm-hmm. Their words are their weapons.
Yeah.
Because, like, yes, Jaime knows how to fight. Obviously, he loses his hand, so it becomes harder. But that's not been his best weapon. Like, their weapon has always been, like, manipulation and charm. Mm-hmm. And that's all he does is fuck with Brienne on the road. And
yeah, he really irks her.
He saves her when they get kidnapped by that random North Kingdom and the guys want to rape her.
Yes.
And he lies and says about where her father's from and how they can be paid in so much money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He essentially saves her from getting raped when they are both prisoner of, mm-hmm. I think his name is Locke or something.
Mm-hmm. He's a good actor. He's just really fucking creepy.
Very creepy. He looks like he could be a pirate in another show. Mm-hmm. But he like lies.
He has that like cartoony Captain Hook beard. Mustache. Yeah. Yeah.
Jaime like lies to him and convinces him that Brienne is important and that they shouldn't rape her. Mm-hmm. And then he gets his hand cut off for it because the guy knows that he's lying.
Yeah.
But he does save Brienne in that sense. So
yeah. And nice. I feel like that was one of the big moments where like they really bonded and like protected each other.
It was like a big sacrifice. But then after that, Jaime is like a little bitch. Mm-hmm. He's crying over his hand that's around his neck, which is fucking weird, I'll admit. But he's like big baby. And Brienne calls him out. She's like, stop being a fucking baby, dude. Like,
yeah,
man up. We got shit to do. You can't, you know, you got to get over it. You'll still learn how to fight, blah, blah, blah.
Where does the bathhouse scene take place? Because that's when Jaime, like, admits a lot of truths about him, like how happened. Oh, I'm skipping something.
No. I wanted to clarify when she calls him out for being a baby mm-hmm. about his hand. She also calls him a spoiled brat, which is 100% yes. true. And honestly, I don't think Jaime has ever been told that before.
No, because Cersei would never put him in his place. And then Tyrion loves him because Jaime was the only one nice to him.
And Jaime like thinks, because he lost his sword hand, right? It's mm-hmm. his, you know, he is a knight. So he's like all baby sad bear. I can't fight anymore, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, you're a spoiled brat. You'll get over it. People have worse problems, essentially, yeah. is what she says. Like,
yeah, and they do.
And I think he needed to hear that. So, but yes, then there's the bathtub scene.
Yeah, so where are they at when that happens?
So the guy that has them prisoner takes them to Roose Bolton. Mm-hmm. Roose Bolton is like, dude, this is fucking the Kingslayer. Mm-hmm. And this nice lady, treat them nicely, go give him baths, go like.
Okay. And so is he drunk or something? Like, why does he start telling her all this stuff? Because he basically tells her the truth of why he's the Kingslayer.
He's not drunk, but at the end he like, remember he, faints because it's so hot in there.
Yeah.
But I think he's just honestly like, they just get real deep in it. And he just like confides in her essentially what really happened. Because if you notice throughout the show up until that point, a lot of people either make fun of him or call him Kingslayer. Mm-hmm. And they think he's like a total asshole for killing the Mad King. But
they don't know the truth. He was saving
the people. Yes, he never tells anybody. He mm-hmm. never tells anybody what really happened. And mm-hmm. so he finally like feels comfortable enough to tell Brienne what really happened. And then he actually saved everybody, essentially.
Yeah, and I think she sees like the weight that he has to carry around with that.
Yeah, instead of just seeing that, oh, he's an oath breaker, he's a Kingslayer. It's like, oh, there's more to this story. It's not just black and white kind of a thing.
Yeah, so that was another really big moment.
That really brings them together, I'd say. Mm-hmm. And then, so after that, do you remember what happens? Would you like me to tell you?
Go ahead, because my brain's trying to find the file. I like to pretend there's a little person in my brain looking for files from memory. He's scrambling to find it right now.
Roose Bolton lets Jaime go.
That's right.
And, well, I don't know if he lets him go, but he has people take him back to King's Landing. Mm-hmm. And they keep Brienne. But about halfway there or whatever, he feels bad and turns back and finds Brienne is, like, essentially, like, their fucking entertainment. She's in, like, a pit and she's fighting a bear.
It's super messed up. So it was really sweet. Terrible. He goes back for her.
Yes. Yeah. He actually, essentially, I feel like it's the first time you see Jaime have a conscience.
Yeah, and then they go back to King's Landing, and then eventually she leaves.
Oh yeah, because he gives her his sword, and then Jaime gives it to Brienne. Brienne mm-hmm. calls it Oathkeeper.
Yeah,
which stupid name.
It's kind of cute though. But he basically says, "You made an oath to Catelyn Stark, and you need to
go find Sansa.
Go find Sansa, because she's left at this point with Littlefinger, and yeah. we don't. They're just always missing each other, and yeah. then." It really sucks because then the Red Wedding happens, which I don't think I ever need to watch that scene again.
So good though. So good.
It was emotionally a lot. Really messed with
oh,
me.
Oh, it's horrible. But it's such a great episode.
But so then Jamie is there to take back lots of the North the Starks are dead. And he goes to the Starks' uncle's kingdom.
Yeah, I think it's River Run that yeah. he sieges or whatever you call it. And that's mm-hmm. when him and Brienne experience each other again because she like sneaks in. She was tasked by Sansa, because we're talking way later.
That's right.
She was tasked by Sansa to go mm-hmm. get her uncle to yeah. help defend Winterfell or whatever yeah. it was that they needed him for.
That's right, because now she's...
And the uncle was like, I haven't seen Sansa since she was a baby. I don't give a fuck. I'm defending my castle.
Yeah, and she's like, fine. And Jaime's like, technically, I shouldn't let you go because that would be treason.
Yeah.
But he allows her to escape and you see them off in the distance. Yeah. Because who is he with again?
She's like rowing away. Squire. Podrick. Oh my God. I love Podrick.
I love Podrick.
I love that Podrick is like a sex god and Tyrion and Bronn are like so confused because it's the first time they like pay for him mm-hmm. at a brothel and he's like, none of them would take my money, but they all had a great time. And Tyrion's like, what? Sit down and tell me what really happened. And then he's like,
but what I love is for how much sex is in the show, we never see him do a sex scene. So it really does allude to the mystery
Podrick?
Magic. Yeah.
Yeah. So funny. Yeah. And then later on, all the girls are like, oh, that's him. And they're like, oh my God, I love Podrick. He's so cute and he's so innocent too when he's with like as Brienne's squire. She like teaches him how to fight and stuff. He's really cute.
Yeah.
He's a cute little. Little baby boy.
I think Podrick is a good, like, what's the word? Like, we can sort of add him in this edition because he was friends with Brienne and then he was also friends with Tyrion.
Yeah, he's like the Robin to their Batman.
Yeah.
He's just always there, the little squire. Yeah. Squire boy. He's totes adorbs. Anyways.
Yeah, so.
So they're rowing away.
Yeah.
They say goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
They, like, wave or whatever.
Yeah, it's really cute.
The next time... I don't know if this is the next time they see each other, but this is the next big moment that I remember
mm-hmm.
is essentially the night before the big battle, long night battle. Yeah, the long yeah, night battle.
I agree that's accurate because then at that point, Brienne has just been in Winterfell protecting Sansa because that's the oath she made.
Yes, and Jaime showed up there to help. They're all like, oh no, this must be a side plot with Cersei. And he's like, no, fucking left her. I want to defend the realms of men.
Which is why it's like frustrating because he like goes there to actually do that. But then when he's like, oh, now that we've won, they're going to attack Cersei and I have to go back to her. And it's just like, dude, pick a fucking side. Annoying.
But in that moment, this is where Jaime really gets redeemed and you kind of mm-hmm. like him for a hot second, right?
Yeah.
He knights Brienne, which mm-hmm. is really cute. They're all there.
Oh my
there.
God, I died. I she cried, cries. Crystal. I cried.
It's so cute that he knights her.
Mm-hmm.
And then he sleeps with her, which I did not like. Me, you know.
It's,
feel about it how you will. I did not like it.
I had a love-hate with it, too, because – and not even because I wanted her –
he's super drunk when it happens. That's what really irks me.
Yeah.
He's super drunk. He tries to make her drink more, which means he's like a pusher on top of
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And then it's like a one-night thing or a couple nights maybe because he stays for
I
like a –
I don't know what time is in the last two seasons.
But he stays for like a hot second, and then he goes, I got to go back to Cersei. So that really irked me. Just saying.
Yeah, it's hard because like it's not that I necessarily wanted her to hook up with the redhead wildling because I really liked him too. I just feel like it was kind of like if they did feel romantic love for each other, I think it would have been better if it stayed unrequited. But then I also kind of like it because it is realistic and it was a bad decision that was made. And so Brienne had to learn from her lesson that she shouldn't have trusted him the way she did. I don't know. It's hard.
I don't know. It was like, oh, Jaime, I'm really starting to like you. Nope, you're a dick again. Fuck you. So, I don't know.
It's hard. So, like, honestly, it broke my heart when he's leaving the next morning, not
and
even
she's,
telling
like,
her.
And she's, crying so hard. It's
I've
so
never
sad.
Seen Brienne cry that hard.
It was fucking sad. And that's essentially how their friendship ends.
Yeah.
So, not the best.
Yeah. I mean, essentially it goes back to the episode that we did on Can Men and Women Be Friends? The answer is no, clearly.
No.
Jamie ruined it.
He did. I wish Brienne had, even if they did have sex that one time and, mm-hmm. and she gets fucked over. Mm-hmm. I wish she would have ended up with Tormund because he really loved her. He wanted to have giant babies with her. He said it. He was like obsessed with her.
He loved her for who she was. Really and cute. No one else in like on the north side of, or the south side of the wall, according to the wildlings, loved her for who she was. I and know. He did.
It was really cute. I wish they'd end up together in just some weird side plot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe one day, but yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's really the end of Jamie and Brienne.
She's my friend because we know what it's like for people to be jealous of us.
It's so nice when you can sit with someone and not have to talk. You and I are a team. Nothing is more important than our friendship.
Thank you for listening to the Best Friends Playbook podcast. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
You can also email us episode suggestions at bestfriendsplaybook@gmail.com. And if you could please leave us a review on iTunes, it helps us greatly to grow our podcast.